When we last saw our hero, they had finally gotten their ship pieced back together, thanks to the bots and Borgs of Gravidad. Those lunar assistant bots were very helpful. After leaving the garage, fueling up and breaching Atmo, our heroes kick it into ludicrous speed and burn vacuum.
Incoming signal from Option Planet Omega.
What? What is this?
Beep, beep. It appears to be some sort of advertisement.
What? An ad for what?
Beep, beep. The World Series of Options.
Well, shit. I like World Series. Seriously. It's always good to have some options, you know? Lock in those coordinates. Let's go see what this planet's all about. And you know, you don't have to keep saying beep, beep before you start talking. It's really weird. I wish you would stop. You okay there, robot? You sure are taking your sweet time locking in those coordinates. Don't make me get Gravidow back
don't
here.
Don't judge me. And also don't call Gravidow, please. Beep, beep. Sorry. Habit. Coordinates are locked. Prepare to enter the gravity.
Enter the gravity? What does that even mean?
You should probably sit down and put your seatbelt on. This is your captain speaking.
Oh, I get it. Gravidow bots got jokes now. All right. I'm buckled up. Let's do this. Well, would you look at that? We actually managed to land without crashing this time. Nice job, Gravidow Lunar Assistant. You're the best. Damn, this place is popping. Look at this crowd. There must be something big going on. I wonder who's got the tickets. Who's got the tickets? Oh, this guy right here. He's got like the angel thing on. He looks like he's got some tickets. Sir. How are you doing, sir? Are you, you know what's going on here? Something about a World Series of Options or something? Can we go somewhere a little quieter? And we can maybe chat?
Definitely something about a World Series of Options. It is going very, very well. You know, slow and steady progress wins the race.
This place is packed. What are all these people here waiting for?
They are waiting for the World Series of Options. It is a project that will be launching on Terra in 2022. We're going to be running an NFT-generated options tournament for anyone on Terra in every Terra individual token. And we're going to be making it a gamified scenario with a little bit of game theory. And we're going to have it as an educational focus. So you don't need to know anything about options to get involved. You can learn about it. And the whole mission of the World Series of Options is to educate the users of the Terraverse to be able to utilize options as a tool in their portfolio, whether it be in crypto, in TradFi, in any asset class whatsoever, equip them with that knowledge, be able to take it on, and be able to maximize value for those participants in whatever manner they choose.
That sounds amazing. And when I hear options, I of course, my mind goes to stocks and stuff, but this isn't solely just stock-based then?
This is absolutely crypto based. All of the Terra tokens that are available with a 5 million UST market cap or higher are going to be available. And we're going to launch a randomly generated options NFT series. And those will kick off every week. the winners of that NFT series, which would be essentially a mock trading strategy that's going to be randomly generated, are going to have the highest rewards. But rewards will go out to any profitable strategy over the course of that tournament series. So every week we're going to have a new tournament series, and that's to start, with plans to expand significantly beyond that.
That's cool. And so these tournaments just run the course of a week, or do they last longer than that and you just have new ones starting every week? Or how does the time frames work?
So the first NFT that we're going to mint is going to be a perpetual OG NFT. So if we, say, use 14 of the Terra tokens that have significant market caps, and we utilize the 18 option strategies that are available to us inside of this tournament series, and then we have our variables of volatility as well as moneyness added to that, we could mint up to approximately 19,500 different option strategies just there. So the original OG NFT series is going to run and will be available to print as many of these options as possible. And they're going to be a perpetual payout for every options tournament series that's going to run weekly. So the first OG NFT is going to print, and then that is going to kind of be your base strategy. And there will be available trading on an NFT marketplace to be named later there. And then during the weekly tournaments, there's going to be a weekly tournament payout to the best relative strategy of that week. And that will be the highest payout. And then any strategy that makes money throughout that week will receive some version of a payout. And there's going to be a portion of that pool that's going to be added to that OG NFT series. And if the OG NFT series is the highest strategy that week, then it's going to get paid out. I set this up as about 60% of that pool would go to the winner. And then any the closest strategy to break even would be 20% of that pool. And the worst strategy of the week would also get 20% of that pool, if that was indeed the case. But if those thresholds weren't actually reached, then we're going to roll that to the next week. And then that will actually end up building a pool that could be significant over time. So there are a lot of moving pieces. Some of it is still in motion, just a little bit. But for the overwhelming most part, we have the strategy all set, and we're going to make it fun and engaging for as many people as possible to learn about options, to learn about the break-even points, the max losses, and the max gains that are available on every option strategy that's available. And then we're going to run those tournaments weekly. We'll have that rolling OG loop. And then we're going to end up launching the WSO token sometime in Q2 of 2022, which will act as a treasury for a portion of those proceeds as well. So the WSO treasury would be a consistently increasing floor, and then you'll have that value. And then if the value of the WSO token falls underneath the floor, pull money out of the treasury to buy it back up to the floor, et cetera.
Very cool. And so this, and maybe I'm asking the wrong question because I'm not super up on options and everything, but people will bring their own strategies, or do you get a strategy based on the NFT that's minted? Like, are
you
the
get
NFTs
a strategy based on the NFT that's minted?
Okay,
but you don't have
so
to
the NFTs
that.
Have each one is a different strategy then, basically.
Each NFT is a different strategy.
Oh, that is so cool.
And each NFT will also be available for aftermarket trading during the weekly tournament series.
Right. So if you have a strategy in mind, you're going to go shop for that specific NFT so you can play
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
That is so
we're
cool.
We're only going to hold 1,000 of those 19,000 possible strategies each week. So you don't necessarily know if the absolute best strategy is going to be out there.
Right.
So you
right.
almost have to look for the relative best strategy and look to purchase that. And then naturally, whoever owns that strategy would be able to offer it at a price that they feel is plus EV.
And that's so, assuming they don't want to play that strategy themselves. Or can you, I assume you can't sell one while you're playing it, right?
No, you can have as many strategies as you want during the course of the tournament series.
Okay.
So you can actually go out, you could purchase any of the strategies that are out there and available. You don't have to sell them. You can kind of hoard them and then look to be that top, you know, in the top X percent. And the payout structure is going to be significant, like a poker tournament, be highly front weighted, and then it'll go down to the 50% level where, you know, naturally, if, like, let's say, for instance, these weekly tournament series cost 100 UST to enter, you know, those bottom payouts probably wouldn't reach up to that 100 UST point, but those top payouts could be 10, 20, 50, up to 100x. So for 100 UST, quote unquote buy-in, you could take home 10k UST on the week.
Damn, that sounds like some pretty good stakes. I like that. So what's your background is in options and stuff, or did you, like, how did you start out and get this idea to do the World Series of Options? That's the coolest name.
Yeah, it's fantastic, man. I've been in the options industry for around 22 years, and I started down and I traded on trading floors. I was a designated primary market maker, as well as a market maker on floors. And then I worked for a few hedge funds. I ran a hedge fund for a small period of time. So I've had a lot of experience inside of the trading space. I've also worked at a few exchanges, a few clearing firms. So I understand the market structure of the options industry really well globally. So I've been in that business. I'm still in that business. I'm an industry leader in that space. I push forward interesting functionalities that could be traded by, you know, the retail participant, as well as any of the market making institutional firms, hedge funds, banks, and all that. So, you know, putting this together really was more of a love of Terra, getting into the NFT space, and the fact that options in DeFi has not yet been done properly.
Right. And I feel like the closest thing we have to it is what we get with Mirror Protocol and the synthetic assets, but you're not really playing options on those, right? That's a different thing.
Right. I mean, with Mirror, you can be long or short. You know, with options, and options being a right to purchase or sell any underlying instrument on or before a certain date at a specified price.
Right.
So that would be what the dictionary definition of an option would be. Call options being the right to buy, put options being the right to sell. And then there are other strategies that can be employed by purchasing multiples of calls and puts across different strikes, sometimes across different tenors, which is really difficult to do in this case. By tenor, I mean different expiration dates. You know, we're going to have a lot of fun with this. We're going to do a lot of education, and we're going to make sure that people understand that these tools, they're not just used for speculation. You know, you're not just YOLOing Tesla calls and hoping that the stock goes up, you know, 100%, or YOLOing Luna calls and watching the rise to the moon. But in actuality, you can utilize these options to protect your portfolio. You can utilize them to generate yield in your portfolio. And, you know, there are a lot of different nuances to them that people might not understand that they're going to learn throughout the process if they decide to participate in this series.
That's excellent. I feel like the space definitely needs that, because probably much like myself, the majority of our ape friends' options skills comes from reading that little thing in Robinhood when that first came out and being like, yeah, let's try that, and then promptly, you know, losing everything or just not doing well. Shout out to GME calls. I feel like we're here to like help educate and be able to like record all these different spaces that we come across and everything. And this kind of reminds me of a space we recently ran across where Hutch was talking about doing like Roth IRA rollovers into crypto. And that, like, I'm super new at this stuff, but I knew enough to like set up an IRA Roth in like a Schwab account or something, and then just like have those yields like keep going in there. But the way he approaches it, it's like, you know, that money's just sitting there. It's not really doing shit when it could be over here doing a lot more for it. And I feel like marrying these two things together and having like a World Series of Options that, you know, kind of pulls from that that intermediary between your 401k or your Roth or whatever, and then your crypto stash, and just helps build that overall wealth. Like that's really cool stuff.
Yeah. And that Roth concept is pretty cool, using after tax dollars and then not having to pay on the gains on the after, dependent upon how long you hold on to that Roth. And if you do an early withdrawal, I think that's a pretty cool idea, especially if you're looking to use this as some sort of retirement style fund. I think that would be really cool. And I can definitely think about ways to incorporate some of this. I mean, so I mentioned that like options haven't been done in DeFi right. I just want to codify that a little bit.
Yeah.
So the way that options work in an automated market maker model is very difficult, because they're a derivative asset and they're based upon the price of something else with other variables that are inputted into the model. The most variable of those variables would be the volatility, the implied volatility of an option. So the protocols that have launched that have options available are only doing them on, say, ETH and Bitcoin. And they're utilizing like a bootstrapped implied volatility model from another centralized style exchange, like a Deribit, or using CME option futures options on those instruments in order to kind of bootstrap into a volatility curve. And that's not great, especially if the underwriters of those options, the sellers of those options, you know, have the opportunity to really not benefit. They don't have the opportunity to benefit as they would in like a true AMM, where if somebody wants to buy size, they're paying a significant value through an offer, right? Or you know, if somebody wants to be an aggressive seller, they really can't do that. So the AMM style of options hasn't been perfected, because no true like good options professional has come into this space, has written like an implied historical volatility model on a bunch of different assets. There are other challenges, like the forward price of highly inflationary tokens are very difficult to kind of ascertain. If you have a significant drip in a name like, you know, like Valkyrie, you know, which is going to be bleeding their tokens out over a fairly quick period of time, and then, you know, so much so that the community would say, hey, slow down the distribution of this, yeah, and that can change from point to point. Options are really traded off of a forward price. So if you're trying to say, hey, I'm going to buy an option on, you know, I'm going to buy a call option on Valkyrie, I'm going to buy the 35 call a month out, you know, maybe the fair value of Valkyrie, the token, might be 28 cents down there, whereas it's trading currently spot around 33 cents. So you have to like be able to price an option based off of its accurate forward price. And it's been a very significant challenge for anybody who's looking to do this and be able to trade these option style, vanilla option style derivative assets in tokens that aren't the top two that are out there. So I think it's going to be really interesting how this space evolves. And I've been working on a couple of different models to be able to better ascertain what the forward price of a token would be. And naturally, there are supply and demand aspects that go in there as well. Yeah, but like it's really complicated, and it's very difficult to do and to do well without having one side or the other get totally wrecked.
I'd be curious too, is there a lot of pushback from like, you know, hypothetical old school brokers that don't like crypto? They don't want anything to do with crypto. Like what are you like the crazy crypto guy at your firm, or like, are they all kind of getting on the bandwagon?
I think we're all the crazy crypto guys at our firm, right? But people are interested in options on crypto. They just don't know how to do it right. I mean, so the people on the retail side that I've spoken to, like the Robinhoods and Webulls and Ameritrades and E-Trades and Fidelities, and like I've talked to a lot of those guys in terms of like, how do you think about crypto? They're all about spot crypto. But when they start talking about forwards like futures, or they start talking about the option side of crypto, they're like, I don't know the first thing about how to price this, how to get it done.
And is that just
from a risk perspective?
Is that just the volatility? is that just the volatility issue, or because the technology is so new? Like, it's just a lot of different variables. Is that why they have a hard time kind of figuring that out?
I'd say a little bit of both, because the space isn't very well understood yet.
Sure.
Right? Like I've been talking to a friend of mine who buys and sells coins all the time on Coinbase because he thinks that he can kind of time it, but he doesn't necessarily understand the tokenomics of it.
Yeah.
We were talking about a token today, and I won't like negatively show one, but it was something that was like, all right, well, hey, this token's got this 14,000% APR. And I said, great. I want you to tell me what happens tomorrow when it's down 80%.
Yeah.
And you know, it's 4 hours later, it's down 25%. He sends me a text. He's like, wow, should I buy it now? And I said, no, just watch it go lower. Like it's an APR rug. Like you know, they're not putting these tokens out there for people to accumulate them and hodl them. Like it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Not with like the fees they're making
and dumping it. Yeah. And then he just texted me before. He's like, now it's down 75%. I said, should I buy it now? I said, no, watch it go to zero. Yeah. That's what they're designed to do. Like, these are slow rugs, or you know, not even really that slow.
Yeah. I'm curious, too, like, why we haven't seen this sort of stuff from bigger exchanges, like a KuCoin that does things with, like, futures and spot, having the ability to choose. Is it just, like, a regulation thing that they don't want to get too far into like stock kind of a game or what?
It's finding the liquidity, right? So the KuCoins and Gates and OKEXs, they have solid liquidity in spot, and they could have some solid liquidity on the future side because it looks a lot like spot and it's easily hedged and very replicable. But when you're talking about options, there are only a handful of firms, and I'd say maybe 20 to 30 firms in the world that would even have the ability to add liquidity in tokens that aren't ETH and Bitcoin. Yeah, and if you look at the people that make markets on Deribit and the people that make markets on the CME, like they're options guys, and they're options guys through and through before they even got to crypto. So, you know, like Jump Capital has a decent options business in the US and abroad, and they've been able to insert themselves into that space. You know, firms like Acuna Capital and Jane Street and a little bit of Alameda, like these are options guys. Like SBF was an options guy. Like he worked for Jane Street before starting FTX. So like a lot of the people that they just don't have the ability or the not necessarily the ability, but they don't have the know-how of the market microstructure of the options landscape to be able to say, hey, this is going to work in crypto too, so let's just copy-paste our models over here, because they don't work.
Right. And then they run that risk of them doing it incorrectly and it completely not working and then just losing their ass on it.
These firms are not set up to take risk on money. Like there are arbitrageurs at their finest. Right. And to watch firms like Jump and Acuna, and like some of the founders from Acuna, they're like retired already. And they're like in their early 30s. And they're like, all right, well, I just built my house in Australia out of Bitcoin. And I'd love to go see that. But it's pretty funny how like well these guys have done just by virtue of being involved in the right space at the right time, saying, hey, I'm going to make markets in options on crypto futures on the Chicago Merc. And they've done unbelievably well from what I've heard. And like Jump making significant investments inside, outside the space and being like a market leader. And then naturally what's kind of happened with FTX and Alameda and SBF has just been mind-boggling, you know, over the last 2 or 3 years, just watching something grow from nothing to a $10 billion company.
That's mind-blowing.
Mind-blowing. It really is. And I'm just sitting there going like, well, I'm a smart dude, kind of, I think. But then when I got into DeFi, I understood that like my Z-score on anything that I'm talking about kind of starts at 30 and only goes down from there. like my confidence interval is nothing in this space, because it's just going to continue to shift and it's going to continue to evolve. So that's why I decided to say, all right, well, while people are building and perfecting exactly how the volatility model should be working in crypto for options in order to make it fair for everyone, let's teach them about options because they're coming. They're just not here yet. So the problem that I see in the crypto sphere is that, you know, you have a lot of moon boys and people who are just throwing out YOLOs and that are only concerned about the directional movement and saying, all right, well, I'm just going to ape into something and hope it goes up 200x.
Literally over. Gambling and just staring at minute charts all day, hoping for not a rug.
Right. And I hope that people can kind of get into the educational element because I'm going to end up bringing in some people that are pretty influential in the option space to help do this education. And like, you know, we have an awesome back end dev who's going to be able to kind of work the UX UI side of things to be able to show exactly what's happening in these individual strategies. You know, we're looking for, and we're kind of close, I think, to having somebody on the graphic design part to generate and create these NFTs so that they look like they're just completely popping off a page.
That's awesome. Right? That's huge part in that whole process. Like if you can have a mint and an interaction that people are like get hooked on and stuff, like they'll just keep coming back and minting more and more, and then having the gamified aspect of it. Like this is really exciting. I like what you're building here.
I'm super pumped. I think it's going to be very, very cool. From the conversations that I've had so far, there are people that are just out of control, like unbelievably big in both the NFT space, the option space, just crypto in general, that are really interested in this, because educating the masses about instruments that have an unbelievable amount of power to help them manage their own risk in a very risky asset class is like, people are just like, wow. And you're not really taking much for doing it. And I'm not. I'm really doing this for the community. Yeah, you know, I keep saying that this is going to be a community-owned project. Like, I'm not going to be the one who's going to be profiting from this. In fact, you know, we're going to be joining the Angel Alliance. I have some, nice. You know, I'm waiting on a call back from Kev to make sure that we can get that all set up. I'm personally going to be donating a significant portion of any of the tokens that I get in WSO to Angel. They can do with it what they please. And this is going to be really just acting as a fiduciary to this community to be able to give them the skill set that they're going to need going forward as this entire asset class continues to evolve.
That's pretty epic. We must have found the only altruistic options trader in the universe right here at the World Series of Options. And as a fellow altruist, I appreciate that 100%.
That's what we're about at Terra, right? We're about helping each other out and you know, all having a common goal. And that common goal is to continue to build the use cases around and build the assets under management of UST so that we can build a truly decentralized environment to perform any and every financial transaction worldwide. And you know, getting behind that as a core concept from Doe all the way on down to the first person who says, hey, what's Terra? Yeah, is just what we're all about. So we're going to be, you know, we're going to have a hell of a ride ahead of us. You know, when we're reaching from 0 to 10 billion in UST in a year is just like it's mind-boggling.
That's huge.
And we're only going to be moving higher and getting significant assets under management. And you know, as far as UST and all of the platforms that are being built on Terra. It's like another thing that I didn't want to do was compete with anything that was really here on Terra that's building, right?
I was going to say, we talked to a lot of different projects and stuff, and this is definitely one of the ones that are like completely doing something different while still utilizing the tools that we do have currently, you know, NFTs and tokens and tokenomics, stuff like that, being able to utilize those in the space, like without having to build out something new, but being able to do it while you guys are building, like doing it at the same time and getting people involved and interested.
It's very cool. I think what Sigma's doing is amazing. They're going to end up having almost like OTC requests for specific option trades. Like if you understand options in the States, it's like a flex option. So you can request an individual instrument. You can request the strike price and the expiry, and then basically ask for a quote and then trade, you know, one side or the other. And from what I understand of what they're building, that's kind of got a similar aspect to like a flex option. And we don't compete with them at all. Like 0%. Like we're actually here to help educate people so that they can use that platform. So like we wouldn't even be competing with like the Deribits of the world. I think that we'd be able to help them from an educational perspective. You know, the Sirens or the Hedgix or any of the options platforms that are out there in DeFi we're not competing with any of them at all.
I like the whole Terra ecosystem getting around, like just helping and building and leaving things a little better than how we found them. Basically, that's what enables us to be here doing these shows, you know, getting a little funding from Mr. Kwan himself and getting able to like just focus on making a platform and helping to educate people with all of this crazy content. We have recorded more hours than I think. Like we're over 80 hours, I think, now in just the last since October, the tail end of October, in just content with people like CeFi and Hutch and everybody else that just, you know, does random spaces. Like now we have this cool platform to record them and put them up like a time capsule for people to go back and listen to. And like none of that would have been possible without that whole altruistic mindset of like, all right, you want to do this, do it. Here's some funding, like get it done now.
Yeah. I'm really curious to see like how things continue to evolve. And I want to look back on this period in time, 20 years from now, and say that this was an inflection point and that the world is a better place today because of the efforts that we're all making today, right? In the efforts in decentralization, the efforts to kind of move away from that system of highly regulated scenarios where it's almost regulation for regulation's sake.
Yeah,
and it's regulation for politics or for some other type of motive of a lobby or some sort of a scenario like that. And I do believe in some version of regulation to make sure that there isn't, you know, that there aren't any bad actors. But what we're really testing here is whether or not the communities can regulate themselves,
right,
and kind of push out all the bad actors by virtue of this virtuous behavior that we're enlisting in, all while being in this for monetary gain. I mean, everyone that's gotten involved in the crypto space that I know, you know, they're smart people and they've been able to kind of position themselves appropriately. And I'd say the majority of them have been doing very well. So I know it's a zero sum game and there are losers out there too. Yeah, but for those people who are losing, they just need to become more educated about market structure and microstructure and tokenomics and exactly how these products work and what they're meant to do. Yeah, I was asked recently by someone who's like insanely big in this space, like, what do I think of meme coin? And I said, I think they're an unbelievable entry into this universe. Because, you know, people want to buy a token because it's got a dog on it. That's great.
They want to hold it.
Now they have a wallet and now they're involved in something. So they can understand, like, all right, well, this could be bigger than me. That it could be bigger than Doge or Shiba or Floki or, you know, naturally our our meme coins on the Terra network, like Terra Floki and Dogecoin and all of the all the very, you know, I think Dogecoin's coming back. I think that's
I heard that
under new management.
it's they serve a purpose. They're a gateway drug, if you will, into the space. And then once people are in, I feel like they get themselves interested, whether it's from the communities or from just watching charts and, you know, watching percentages and all that kind of shit. But like, it gets their interest. And that's something, you know, 20 years ago, it was completely unheard of, you know, people managing their own retirements, their own financial well-beings. Like, that's, there's no way. We have smarter people than you to do that, you know? And now it's like the whole movement, it almost taps into something like deeply revolutionary in everybody that's just kind of been laying dormant for so long, and they want to, they think it's our turn now. Like, we're going to take this power back and form these DAOs, and we're going to show you that we can actually be self-governing within these certain these communities, you know.
We're on the path to financial freedom, and doing that in a worldwide sense, and we're generating wealth. And we're leveling the playing field while at the same time innovating and creating new products, new ways to think about these products. And the transparency that I've seen in crypto and the willingness to help, even from people who aren't involved in your project, just saying, hey, like, you know, maybe I can lend a hand. Or in the communities banding together and like mods stepping forward in an unpaid way to just be like, hey, I believe in your project. I want to help out. And like, sure, maybe, you know, we'll end up giving them tokens down the road, but they're not doing it for that. They're doing it for the cause. They're doing it for the cause of decentralized finance. They're doing it for crypto as what it is. And sure, when I was building up some of the buzz on the WSO side, like I'm going to end up giving airdrops out to the first 1,000 Twitter followers and 200 Discord members and any Discord member in our Discord group who has a role. And I'm going to scale that. And we're going to end up scaling that by how high your role is. Then that'll determine how large your airdrop is going to be. So anyone who's listening, if you wanted to come into the Discord, get involved, be of service, and work with us in order to perfect this and really move it along the path, you know, that there's going to be something for it in the future once we launch WSO token, which I think is just kind of be like this up only scenario, because it's just really a treasury, right? And so, like, you know, there are these tokens that are out there that are just the treasury, you know, and have other aspects, and there are going to be additional revenue options for the World Series of Options down the road. But, you know, as we're building, we're just going to start with a small base, build from there, and, you know, raise a little bit of capital for that vault and that initial treasury by virtue of this OG NFT release, which is going to be a perpetual payout scenario. So you're not just buying and donating money to a cause and to a token. You know, you're donating it to the potential to profit from it every single week. And then, you know, we could launch dailies in the future. We could launch hourlies in the future. We could do smaller tournaments that are just a smaller group of participants. We could do strategy specific tournaments saying, okay, well, we're just going to do calls. And, you know, then you can learn about exactly how to manage a long call position with different volatility profiles and different moneyness characteristics, and, you know, with the different tokens, and be able to kind of understand and learn those. We could do spread tournaments. We can do, you know, straddles, strangles, condors, butterflies, like all the strategies that are going to be employed, which, you know, may not mean anything to you. They could just be words, but we're going to teach the community how to utilize these products and how to maximize value in order to generate yield, protect your portfolio, and or maximize your returns by virtue of the leveraged aspect with a limited amount of risk of options.
I think too, it opens up a lot of potential for collaborations with other NFT communities, get people learning while they're having fun playing this game and maybe making a little money. I think it's really important to have distractions during the downtimes, during the bear markets, whatever people want to call them, the winters. It's good to like have things that still keep the community engaged, even though everyone's not super hyped up because, you know, you're breaking all-time highs day after day. Like it's hard. People get burned out and stuff. I feel like in things like this and like the Hellcats NFT, they do it really well with their poker games. They do. It just things that get people away from staring at the charts and gets them engaging with the community. And just, you're like hanging out, having fun, especially after this pandemic thing that everybody's been going through. Like people don't go out and hang out with their friends. And like, I feel like Discord and all of the communities that have popped up on it have been a really like huge part in people's lives, just dealing with all of this shit that people are dealing with.
Oh, totally. Totally. And being able to learn to earn, as opposed to play to earn. I think learn to earn is going to be another concept here. And that's why not only are we doing the airdrops to all of the Twitter followers and the Discord members who are adding value, but anyone who participates in these tournaments are also going, that's how we're going to end up releasing and distributing the token out to its max, is through participation in the NFT tournaments. So you're getting something back just for participating, win, lose, or draw, number one. You're getting WSO tokens. You're going to be able to have the opportunity to profit from them while you're learning about the option strategies that are being minted. If you are involved in the OG NFT, then you're going to have the perpetual pool that's going to last for the entirety of the project, and it's going to eventually end up looking a lot like a lottery. And you have the ability to learn game theory and trade these instruments back and forth on NFT marketplaces, all without being a security. I was very careful, just given the regulatory landscape today, to make sure that we're not doing this as a security. These are going to be, you know, mock dollars. They're not going to be dollars themselves. They're going to be mock tokens that are going to represent the value of these options positions, almost like the stock market game. If you ever participated in that in high school, I don't think every school in the world needed a broker dealer in order to do that. So there are going to be prizes. Those prizes are going to be tokens. Those tokens are not a security. Therefore, this whole concept does not fall within the Howey test, and that like if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, then it's a security. So we're really being very thoughtful in our approach. We're being very thoughtful to not include at this point in time any of the mirrored assets that are security that are security linked. But we may incorporate some of those mirrored assets that are token linked. So like the MBTC might be in there, or the MDOT, and any of the ones that may be listed in the future, METH. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a tremendous value add to the community itself, being able to educate them about just this the power of this asset class and being able to help them along their path to financial freedom. And I'm just happy, proud, and honored to be a part of it.
And I'll say, you definitely sound like you know what you're talking about. We've heard a lot of like just devs, random meme coin devs, just in the whole season going on, be like, oh yeah, this isn't security, you know, this and that, like yeah, everything's fine. But like, you actually have that background. Like, you would be the one to know if this is a security or not, and how to structure things to make it okay for everybody. And that's super cool. I don't think we have a lot of people that have your level of experience and that willingness to like help pass that on to others. Like it's kind of a dark art in options, at least for people like me that, you know, just know of them from what Robinhood offered and what you read from Reddit, you know? So it's always been kind of like this dark art of sorts that you don't want to ask questions, 'cause then people think you're the dumb one. And then like, you know, you just kind of gloss over it, but you're out here, you have your own server on Discord here. There's a community growing, and you guys are just like teaching and passing this information, this knowledge on, and that's super powerful.
Yeah, I'm humbled to be able to be in the position to do this. And from a security perspective, if you think that these randomly generated strategies in a gamified capacity are securities, then yeah, if you walk into any casino in the United States and you look down at your hand and you see deuce seven offsuit, then all of a sudden there's going to be somebody at the SEC poking over your shoulder and saying, hey, I think you need to pay the piper over here. So I look at this as a way to engage the community and teach them about an asset class in a fun and engaging way, where these individuals who are participating in this tournament series have the potential for profit and the ability to learn about trading, to learn about NFTs, to learn about the tokens that they're trading as well, because we can do education on those tokens. They might be new to Terra, to bring people into this ecosystem that is being built. And I've watched it from the time where there were only two tokens that were available on Terra, and it was just Terra and Anchor, and then Mirror, and then Pylon, and just watching how the ecosystem has developed. I'm proud to be a part of it. I know that it's going to continue to evolve and explode as being in the right space at the right time to be able to give the right information to the right people to continue to perpetuate that forward motion as we all move forward towards that common goal is a absolute blessing. And being able to do it here through this medium where I have significant expertise and I have a nice team behind me, continuing to recruit the right people to get involved in this project. Yeah, we're going to have an amazing time. We're going to do a lot of good for a lot of people. Also, speaking of people who are doing a lot of good for a lot of people, Angel Protocol will benefit from this in a significant way. And we're very happy to be joining that Angel Alliance as soon as we get that set up.
Yeah, those guys are awesome over there. Kevin is pretty much the reason why I'm in the Terra space to begin with. Like he's my good friend from back in Montana, and he got me into ADA back before, and he was like, he told me about Terra, and when he told me he dumped all his ADA bags and got into Terra, I was like, all right, I guess you're serious, huh? Because he was the one that was like, no matter what you buy and sell, like, don't ever sell ADA, like, hold on to that forever, that kind of shit. So when he came to me and was like, I sold my ADA, you should buy this Luna thing, I was like, okay, this guy, awesome. This is business. It's so awesome.
Yeah, we had a call scheduled for right around the time when there was that very small blip during the Hello LBP because of the significant volume that ended up getting bought out, and then they had to do a little restart on the server side to get the Angel site working. Yep. Everything was always working through CoinHall. He was like, look, man, we got to cancel it. Let's see if we could set it up for later on in the week. So I've been reticent to do that just yet because I've got a couple of things going on over today and tomorrow. But I'll try to get with him and then solidify exactly where we are on the Angel Alliance and be able to contribute to that in a meaningful way.
That's awesome. They're doing amazing work over there. Real quick, before we wrap this up, was Terra your first crypto, or were you into crypto before that? And what brought you to Terra? Was it just the tokenomics, or because I assume back then there wasn't all of these amazing communities that there is now, probably one smaller one.
Yeah, that's an interesting story. So much like a lot of the people who have done fairly well in this space, I started looking at crypto as a means to move money between poker games. And poker was, in my eyes, the first real solid use case for utility for cryptocurrency, was moving things around and not having to not having to do it in a trusted manner with any
not
any
having to get your Cash App account shut off multiple times because they don't like poker.
multiple times, and whether it was Cash App, Venmos, I had Zelle shut off. PayPal inquiries, like it was just kind of crazy, and I was playing some fairly decent stakes poker, so I was doing that. And then from there, I ended up getting a call from a friend of mine who said, "Hey, you're going to hear one word more than any other word in the next year, and that word is DeFi." And my response to him was, "What is DeFi?" And he said, "Well, here is a YouTube link. Just look it up and then call me and we'll talk."
Damn.
And so I did, and he was involved in a bunch of different projects, and I was like, all right, well, I don't really get it yet. And it was right around like the SafeMoon thing. So I ended up getting into BSC shitcoins first.
Nice. I feel it.
And I did it for market research too, right? Because I'm a TradFi guy and I'm an options guy. So I wanted to make sure that my job was safe, right? Because like, hey, this seems like it could be something and it seems like it could explode. So I wanted to do research into the options space, specifically on a few of these projects. And I remember and the BSC space. And I also wanted to learn exactly what could go wrong, right? So I wanted to learn about all the scams and the pirates and the teams that were just like cheating, and you know, all of the bot arb, and you know, everything that I learned in BSC was like, all right, well, this is exactly what I want to stay away from. Understand, like, hey, I understand the 51% attacks, understand the flash loan attacks. You know, I was involved in like a bunch of this like shit that went like really, really sideways. And you know, like whether it was like Bunny or Bog or like the BSC space was ridiculous for a period of time. This was like maybe May.
Yes.
And then I found Terra, and I just gravitated to the philosophy of Terra more so than the tokens or the tokenomics of any of the platforms. And I became a Terra Maxi really quickly. I've moved significant assets into this ecosystem. You know, I help friends maximize their own interest in the crypto space. And I do it out of the kindness of my heart. And just be like, look, hey, this is something you might want to take a look at. This is something that might be interesting to you. And I teach them on how to get involved in this ecosystem. And so far it's been great. It's been immensely profitable. It's been fulfilling. And I haven't had to take any real time away from the workspace. You know, there could be some very interesting developments on that front in the very near future, but I have to keep that naturally under wraps for a whole host of reasons. But I'm a big fan of this ecosystem, I'm a big fan of DeFi. And so Terra is my second. And then I've played around on all of the other significant L1 chains and some of the L2s. You know, I've been on Matic and Arbitrum, and yeah, you know, I've done stuff on AVAX and Sol and Harmony. And yeah, I've been messing around, just kind of like saying, all right, well, what's new and different? And I haven't found anything that's so new and different that it's going to displace what I believe to be the core decentralized finance philosophy, decentralized stablecoin, and just this ecosystem and the people that are inside of it. I think Terra is going to take over.
That's legendary. When Juicy Heat comes to you and says, hey, you might want to look at this, you definitely put your glasses on and you look at it. That's so cool. Was there any one in particular individual that you like, you heard them speak, or was it just stuff that you read? I'm curious, like which personality it was that you kind of latched onto that made you want to come into the ecosystem more.
I have to say it was Boss, man. I mean, Doe is a great speaker, number one.
Yeah.
He has a mission. He's genuine in his mission. And I think that it must have been like over 4th of July weekend. Like he really, really got me. He was talking about Prism. It's like 5 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. And I was in Cleveland, Ohio, and like we were like hanging out on the lake for the 4th of July. And I log into this Twitter Spaces and I just listened to him and I was like, wow, he's really got his shit together.
That's awesome.
Like, and I know market microstructure. I know market structure really well. And I know the regulatory landscape. And like, but I know all of that in TradFi. I remember anything I say about DeFi, I'm like, I start at 30%, I go down from there. But in learning about how people and understanding like the human psychology around how people are investing their money into this nascent asset class is fascinating. And having someone to shepherd us through that process who has the mindset and mission that Do Kwon does is just a treat, and it's a blessing for everyone that's involved. It really, really is. You know, anybody who FUDs out Do, I'll be the first person to stand up and be like, look, you don't know shit.
I can't tell you how good that makes me feel that you say that, because it is, it's because of him we were able to quit our day job here and like focus on doing content for Terra 24/7 pretty much. I mean, we're at everyone's beck and call. If they go on a Twitter space recorded or they want an interview or something like that, like no matter how big or small the project is, we will talk to them because they're people, they got stories, and that's something that I'm really into. And just having that opportunity to do that and then hearing people like you and like CeFi and Hutch talk about how the tokenomics are solid and how everything is done right, like that just, it makes me feel super good that we're here.
Yeah, and the tokenomics of Terra are the best that are out there. As to the altcoins inside of the Terra landscape, those tokenomics could leave a little bit to be desired, just as far as the speed of distribution and exactly how things are kind of going. And you know, but yeah, and it's just a matter of being able to create the utility and revenue profile that is attractive for people to not only enter but stay into that token, and not just like yield drip it out and just compound all of that yield and push the token price down. And we saw it happen with Valkyrie. We saw it happen with Nexus when they had some stuff that came out. And these are great projects and great teams.
Yeah.
And Pylon. Great platforms.
Yeah.
And everyone's still learning here, right? Like we're gonna end up perfecting this and getting it right. So when I see projects like White Whale launch through the boot swap, and to see how the tokens perform not only through that swap, but then afterwards, and how that team has kind of like, all right, well, this could be the way, right? And then Halo now kind of drifting into it. And then, you know, I still have a lot of questions as far as like the long-term, the long-term value on the token, but I think it's solid from what I understand of it so far. I think it's a really cool project. And all of these projects have utility, right? And that's what's so exciting about Terra, is that they're not just building shit. They're building stuff that could last. They're building stuff that could be cross-chain. They're building some stuff that could be sustainable. Like when I see the guys from Apollo, who are some of the sharpest guys that I've come across in this space, you know, kind of build this platform and look to evolve it and continue to kind of push the envelope and say, all right, well, we've got the war chest and this is going to be kind of like the base of this platform. And then all the products that we're going to be adding on top of it are all going to contribute to this. Like that is awesome. That is just fantastic. And it's very well thought out and they're very transparent in the manner that they're deploying their project. I think that's also important. Some projects aren't so transparent. Some have a problem with communication. Some might not necessarily be run by people who should be running projects, but might be good at running teams somewhere in a corporation.
Right.
I don't want to speak negatively about anybody in Terra, because everybody's doing the best that they can, right? And they're doing everything that they can to be able to push their project forward. Yeah, but and like some of the tokenomic use cases are a little bit weird, but you know, we're going to figure it out and we're going to work together to figure it out. And I think that we're going to see a lot of these, altcoins start to stabilize and then find their value and then move on from there. As the revenue profiles are being created and generated and, you know, everybody gets to profit from it. If they can kind of get in there in the right way.
Yeah, and it's super early. We always say that. Like, I know everything that works as well as it does in the ecosystem for how well that stuff does work, like, we're really, really early. And I feel like a lot of those wonky tokenomic experiments are just that. There's just people exploring the room, seeing what can be done. What happens if we do this? What happens if we do that? You know, and then taking notes and hopefully learning from it and everything. But yeah,
learning experience, like even watching Midas with Space Dollars,
yeah,
and
yeah.
At least like Utopia, and like
so
and,
good,
like looking to evolve it, right? And I think it's awesome. I think everybody's doing, and like we don't know exactly how it's going to work out until we see it kind of live through a life cycle,
right?
Which I mean, the crypto attention span is usually like 4 seconds. And, you know, once you kind of lose somebody's interest, like they don't look back. But if you do look back and you continue on the path that you're on, you're going to find some nuggets in there and some value that you could unlock, you know, just by virtue of being in this space and trying something new and different, which is also what we're trying to do with WSO. We're trying to do something new and different. Like this has this, like there aren't really any of these like derived value gamified tournament series poker style NFT projects, you know, where all the calculations are being done off chain. So you don't have to worry about the problems that are inherent with doing like a volatility calculation on chain, which takes too long, costs a lot of gas, and a lot of times, you know, it takes so long that it becomes inaccurate because you can't even query a certain block. There are problems with options that haven't been sorted out yet. But we're doing this, I think we're doing this the right way. I think we're doing this, you know, with a long-term approach, with the ability to educate and be able to add value to all the projects in the ecosystem by doing the education about a new way to trade them that's going to come in the future, whether it's with Sigma or whether it's with, you know, some version of Prism which has these derivatives, whether it's another platform that comes onto Terra, like I've heard like whispers of Vega protocol coming into the Terra sphere. These are all very cool derivative minded projects. So understanding what derivatives are at their core and how they can work and how you can use them to the best of your ability is what we're all about. I think that, you know, we're all in the right space and we're just going to have a great time while we're doing it.
That's awesome. I'm here for it. We'll definitely put all the links up when we send the beam down. I want to little pull the third curtain here. I know we start this show off all like jokey and like we're having fun and flying spaceships around and shit, but Juicy Heat is like talking real world knowledgeable shit. So like I didn't know if you knew what to expect, like coming on the show and like hanging out and talking, but man, that was an amazing conversation. Thank you so much for your time and for educating all of us. I definitely love it.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you for being the first to reach out and to have some faith and be like, hey, let's learn about what this is. We're going to be building out a really interesting platform over the coming months, and it's going to be a great time. If anybody at Intern Capital who's all, yeah, they're all doing like great things, man. Like we're all here. If anybody wants to get involved, reach out to me. My DMs are always open. The guys over at Apollo have been awesome. They've been great in terms of like you know, just advising and just being, you know, just being there and being cool and like kind of understanding a little bit about what it is that we're doing. You know, hopefully we can work with them on some interesting stuff in the future. Hopefully we can work with any Terra project that might have some kind of a use case for our knowledge set. You know, reach out, more than willing to talk, help, see how we can, you know, see how we can work together and how we can incorporate, you know, some, you know, if you're working on a derivative thing, I have no problem just like, you know, spending a couple hours on the phone and just saying, hey, this is what I know. If you can use it, great. Like, and you know, we can all work together to build out some really, really cool shit in this place.
That's awesome. Juicy Heat, thank you. Our recorder is always available. If you ever want to do any spaces or anything like that, just definitely holler and we'll be there ready to record for you.
All right, my man. Thank you very much. Cool. It's been an honor.
Cool. We're going to get out of here. Definitely check them out. We'll have all the links on the website, terraspaces.org. Now my only question is, where the hell did we park? Watching these debates, like what a bunch of noise. When the illusion of choice outmaneuvers your voices, no one really knows what the fuck is going on here. Sitting in the bunker, waiting for the all clear. It's like we're getting steered towards the motherfucking iceberg. Captain all drunk, deciphering where the ice lurks. And we thought 2020 was gonna be a nice year. Living with the plague, like who brought the mice here? Try to think of it as another simulation. Game full of bugs, but it's still fun to play. It's like we're aliens, beta testing Earth, digging in the dirt, trying to earn a little girth. The beast is silent when it defeats the riders. Living outside trying to meet this virus. If you wanna watch it all burn from the sky rise, delete the science and increase the righteous. Living like a jerk, return to feed the worms. Vibing like a tree, just breathing out the words. Be careful outside, them police is violent. Feeling like I finally earned some peace and quiet.
Nice guy.
Down to eat a little piece of pie first, trying to be the fat kid you least admire. Feast of fire when the beasts of burden are getting all bored, but at least we're certain we found the imposter living among us, fussing with hunches. Another big chungus bludgeon, don't worry, the fungus will clean up the guts and get us to function on fleeting assumptions. I see through the rust from rush to rush, now we're stacked up like a bunch of junk. So hush your muff before we stuff your luck and break your fucking neck to this like bust a bust, bleeding impulsive. The meeting controls it when breathing corrosive. No eating the bullshit, feeling the worth like it's gonna be a good year. Now we're all tired, stop treading on the work here.
Nice time. Nice time.
Terra Spaces.